The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Sirius XM Channel 888, say ESPN 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Got to say that fast. If you don't say that fast, you know, like sometimes I'll listen to a podcast and I got to fast forward past all like the nonsense with the guys giving me the promo. And then I start listening. Sometimes you got to fast forward four straight minutes. Game four of the NBA Finals tonight in Milwaukee. You know, it's not like there's any less pressure in this game than there was for Giannis in game three. And in order to really come through, Giannis, what, he's going to have another 40-point game, three games in a row? But he's going to have to do it. Because if you fall down 3-1, you're probably not coming back on a team that has home court anyway. And it's, let's face it, a little better on paper. Suns are a little better than the Bucks on paper. Yep, the Suns have the injury of Saric, but in terms of like health, the Suns have been lucky these playoffs, and so have the Bucks. And, well, I can't just say it's luck because Giannis is tough. He toughed it out to play, you know, on a hyperextended knee, you know, within a week of when it occurred. But these are the two healthiest teams. That's why they're here. But anyway, look, Giannis, he can't fall down 3-1 to this Suns team and then go back to Phoenix. Very unlikely the Bucks win. And there's a lot of pressure on him to come through, Giannis, that is, because he needs help. And he usually gets it at home from Middleton. Remember when Dr. Andre Snellings, Dr. Dre on this show, corrected me? I was like, look, Chris Middleton is sometimes, he's usually good, sometimes excellent. That's why he's like a bubble all-star. He's made two all-star teams in his career. And Dre was like, no, he's a lot of times not that good at all. And sometimes he's great. He's like superstar. Well, when does that normally happen? Home road. And that's kind of what a role player does. You know, what do you always hear? Role players show up at home. So I expect Giannis to get help tonight. I expect him to get help. I also don't expect Booker to continue to struggle the way he has. So I think he's going to need the help. But it also means he can't waste the help. He's got to be big. Giannis is going to have another monster game for the Bucks to win, it seems to me. Think of how much harder the Bucks work for those buckets than the Suns do. Even at home, it's like the Suns will move the ball. Everyone touches the ball, and then they get an easy shot. The Bucks, it feels like they have to grind for their points. And maybe that's partly a function of the fact that a good, you know, good chunk of their points come from their best player, who's an inside scorer. So it'll feel more like grinding, right? But that's the way it is. Giannis is going to have another monster game. He has so much on the line. Both Chris Paul and Giannis have so much on the line in these finals. The fact that they got there is good, but we all know why they got there. They got there because AD got hurt. And then before the playoffs started, Jamal Murray was out. And then Kawhi didn't play. That's why the Suns got there. Make no mistake. They'd have lost to the Lakers. They were down 2-1. Nuggets, who knows? That's an evenly matched series if Murray's healthy. And they'd have lost to the Clippers. If they went six games against the Kawhi-less Clippers, they lose to the Clippers. They're there because they were healthier than the other teams. And meantime, the Bucks were getting smoked by the Nets, and they're also there because of injury. But, and Chris Paul, I suppose, maybe there's even more pressure on him because how many more shots like this is he going to get? But there's a ton on both him and Giannis, both Chris Paul and Giannis. Otherwise, it's like, yo, guys, yo, CP3, what do you need to win a title? Every player in the league has to get hurt. Can you win a title then? And the same thing with Giannis, by the way. I think Giannis is going to get help tonight. And I think he's going to need it because I don't see Booker going cold again. And I can't see how Giannis can afford to fall down 3-1 in this series. He's going to have another monster game. Chris Paul, what is your mindset heading into game four?
We never go into a game expecting to lose. You know, if you show me somebody who expects to lose, I'll show you a loser. And so everybody on our team felt a way We felt like we could be better, and that's why we'll use yesterday, we'll use today to prepare, and we'll all come out ready to play tomorrow.
I mean, Giannis came out ready to play against these guys in games 2 and 3, especially in the biggest possible way. He did a Shaquille O'Neal. Meantime, Coach Mike Budenholzer, how's Giannis feel about those two big performances?
That's the beauty of coaching him, and he wants to actually, you know, be even better and do even more, and he's never satisfied. So that's kind of the world he lives in, and so I just jump right in with him.
Is there more pressure on Chris Paul or Giannis Antetokounmpo? More on CP3 or more on the Greek Freak? Greek Freak's playing at home. They're down 2-1. Seems like it's a must-win game for them. But then again, if CP3 lets them back into the series, if they're 2-2, then not only does Phoenix have to defend home court, then if they lose on the road again, it's going to come down to a game 7? This is probably Chris Paul's best chance at a championship. So even though Giannis's back is more up against the wall in game 4 than Chris Paul, in these playoffs, maybe no one's is more than Chris Paul. Who has more pressure right now? Chris Paul or Giannis? 877-SAY-ESPN. Sorry, I said 877 again. That is the 710 ESPN LA first three numbers. 888-SAY-ESPN. Raj, that's right. If the number's not on the screen, I will forget the number they said 1,000 times. You see that? 1-800. No. It's 888-SAY-ESPN, Raj. There it is. 729-3776. And that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, the news of the day is actually that Kawhi Leonard had surgery to repair his partially torn ACL. It was on his right knee. He sprained. It caused him to miss the Clippers' final 8 playoff games. He missed the entire series against the Suns, which the Clippers surely would have won with Kawhi Leonard. Like, let's not forget what Kawhi was doing in these playoffs. He was scoring like 30 points a night impossibly efficiently and also playing defense. Now, Kawhi might be a little bit past his prime in the sense that his offense is, if anything, is getting increasingly efficient as he gets older, even as the usage goes up. But what made him really special was the fact that he was one of the greatest defensive players who ever lived and surely the best defensive player in basketball presently. And becoming a truly great offensive player. Every year, it seems like his offense gets better. He became a more creative kind of playmaker this year, you know, setting up teammates, a more fluid passer, a significantly above average passer for his position. Consider him a small forward. But his defense was not like it had been to me. It used to be who's the best perimeter defender in the league? Kawhi, clearly. Still, is that the case? He's still an excellent defender, but is he still every year just say, oh, it's Kawhi? No, not really anymore. But here's the thing. There's been a lot of talk that maybe he's done with L.A. Maybe he wants to play in Miami for Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley and the Heat. Now, the team called his surgery successful, but no timetable was given for his return, and he has a player option for next season, 21-22 season. He's expected to opt out because the player option is for $36 million. But if he declines, if he opts out and re-signs with the Clippers, he gets 4 years, $170 million, whatever it is. So he's probably going to take the money. But once you opt out, you opt out. You know, you can go just to whoever you want to go to. Is that going to be the Heat? Now, he doesn't have his full bird rights, Kawhi. So he doesn't get the 5-year supermax deal for whatever, $250 million, whatever it would be. It's a 4-year, $176.2 million deal. He's going to have to budget. Only $176.2 over 4. He's going to have to budget his money, of course. You can't get the special jet. You have to get the jet right below the extra fancy jet. Should he opt out of his contract with the Clippers? Should he? Now, I'm going to tell you no. And the reason I say no is I don't know that there's a better situation for Kawhi than the Clippers. First of all, he's from LA. He's from the area, and he's playing in the area. Secondly, if he goes to the Lakers and wins, he's joining LeBron, just like he'd have done originally, right? And he can win a championship there, and that's great. But if he stays with the Clippers, you know, Kawhi has failed to win a championship. Kawhi is being held to the Michael Jordan standard nowadays, which really LeBron has been held to, right? You're expected to win the championship every year. Before Jordan, you were like, Magic wasn't supposed to win every year because they knew Bird was in the league. Moses Malone was in the league. Same thing with Bird and Moses. Not supposed to win it every year. Then Jordan came along. It's like, you got to win it every year. If you got a crew, you're expected to win every year, or you're no Michael Jordan. Well, that's fair for LeBron because, or Kobe, because they are Michael Jordan, right? They're competing against Jordan. That's not Kawhi. Kawhi's not quite that. But he's being held to that standard. Like, year one, a failure with the Clippers. He just got there. They didn't have a point guard. And they fell to the Nuggets after being lucky to get by the Mavs. We were expecting more. They did get to the second round of the playoffs, and they had a very good season. Then the following season, this year, they were better in the playoffs. They get to the Western Conference Finals, but he doesn't play because he's hurt. Well, let me tell you something. If he'd have been healthy, not only would they have beaten the Suns, they'd have beaten the Bucks too. Kawhi got Giannis's number when they met it when they linked up a couple years ago. They'd have been champions this year, but he got hurt. That's how it goes. They're not going to win. Well, let's say he comes back next year. You think the Clippers wouldn't improve again? I think they would. They got guys like Mann who are ascending talented players. They got a deep and excellent roster. They got shooters wherever you look. They have a great head coach. For my money, the best in the business. And they got Kawhi and Paul George. And Paul George, by the way, had his best playoffs end-to-end, wire-to-wire, that he's ever had. So if I'm Kawhi, I'm thinking I'm sticking around. Because let me tell you something. When Kawhi signed with the Clippers, if I would have told you this, or even now, Kawhi is going to play 4 years with the Clippers, or I suppose if he signs a 4 year, 6 years with the Clippers. Even in those 6 years, if I told you he won a single championship with the Clippers, is that a success, yes or no? That is a resounding success for a team that had never been in a conference finals ever in their history until Kawhi showed up. Never. If they win a championship, are you kidding? This ain't the Lakers. If you said that on the Lakers, I'd be like, is that a success? Eh, we're expecting more. It's the Lakers. This is the Clippers. The lowly flippers. The slippers. They don't win championships. If Kawhi, so let's say he doesn't do it next year, but they have another great year, but they don't win the championship. And then the following year he does. 4 years, you brought a championship to LA, to the Clippers? It's amazing. It's amazing. He will not get the same kind of, it won't have the same significance if he does that in Miami. Now, the Lakers are another story. If he went to the Lakers and won a championship and stuck around and teamed up with AD and an aging LeBron and won multiple championships, he would be loved in a different way because that's how it is in LA with the Lakers. But in terms of historical significance, staying with the Clippers and winning a chip there, which I believe he will do if he stays, is the biggest thing he could possibly do. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. What's up, Raj?
Man, I tell you what, I completely agree with you, Max. Marcellus and dozens of other Clipper fans would flood the streets in a parade if they ever won. It would be huge.
They're up to dozens of fans? Are you sure?
Dozens of fans now. Clipper Darryl, I've seen a couple jerseys over the last few years other than Marcellus. I would say it's dozens, man. That's
dozens? Wait, dozens, plural, or dozen?
Dozens, at least 36.
Whoa! 36 Clippers fans? This is what I mean.
I've seen it.
Kawhi can ignite something. That 36 can turn into 50. And by the time Marcellus's kids are old enough to take themselves to Clippers games, they'll be up to 100.
Never know.
In triple digits.
Triple digits. Triple digits. Be huge.
So should Kawhi opt out of his contract? Should he stay with the Clippers? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Plus, I have a Ben Simmons trade proposal. King in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max? Hey, no. Kawhi should no longer waste his prime in L.A. Kawhi's best chance at a title is going back to the East. He could dominate. It's perfect trade right here. Sign and trade Kawhi to the Sixers for Ben Simmons. Both parties win. Kawhi, yeah, I know you guys may say Kawhi doesn't really like Doc Rivers, but so what? You put Kawhi with Joel Embiid with that roster that they got? Max, tell me that they're not going to
Well, number one, if I'm the Clippers, why do I want Ben Simmons instead of Kawhi Leonard? And number two, I see what you're saying. You're going to get something instead of nothing for him if it's a sign and trade. But number two, Kawhi and Embiid is not enough in the East if KD, Kyrie, and Harden are healthy. You need more. Although I do think that Kawhi, Embiid, and the rest of those dudes, that's a lot. It's a lot. They could give the Nets some serious run. Yeah, interesting. If Kawhi makes it known, okay, I'm out of here. But then Kawhi would have to choose to play in Philadelphia. I don't see it. Mike in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, you got everything right. All your takes about Giannis needs to do, move the ball around, trust his teammates, until you got to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi is gone. He saw that Paul George is not a Batman. He's not a Robin. He's not even a Finch. He is gone, and he's looking across the tunnel to the Lakers. He is going to, and he doesn't care about that his legacy is going to be any less sealed.
How can the Lakers sign him? Okay, wait, Mike, I hear you. I hear you. I think that's a legitimate point of view. I mean, not the Paul George stuff. Paul George played very well these playoffs. Little by little, he's been improving in the playoffs. He played very well these playoffs by and large. So I disagree with that take. But sure, maybe I don't think it's impossible he'd look at the Lakers and be like, well, LeBron's getting older, AD's injury prone. But if I go to the Lakers, there's going to have to be a counterbalancing force to the Nets if the Nets get healthy next year. There's no team that will stand in their way. There was no team this year. It was obvious. Do you understand the Nets barely played together? And even without Harden, just Kyrie and KD, the Bucks, who are now in the finals and are only down 2-1, heading into game four, the Bucks had no shot. They were getting their breaks beat off by the Nets, and the Nets weren't at full strength or close to it. So once the Nets get healthy, if and when they get healthy next year, there's nothing in the NBA that's going to stop them. Nothing. Maybe Kawhi thinks that too and thinks, if I'm with LeBron and AD, now you're talking. Because if Kawhi went to LeBron and AD, that'd beat the Nets. It's better. What's better than KD, Harden, and Kyrie? LeBron, AD, and Kawhi? Because one team has two MVP-caliber players and an all-star plus in Kyrie, and the other team just has three MVP-caliber players. Bigger, better, much better defensively, and their offense is bananas. But, how do the Lakers even afford Kawhi? They can't just sign a free agent like Kawhi. They don't have the cap space. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's realistic. Andre in Massachusetts, daily caller to the show. What's up, Dre?
What's going on, Max? Listen, tonight is a must-win game for the Milwaukee Bucks. I agree 100%. They cannot go down 3-1 and beat the Phoenix Suns three straight games. The good news is this, Max. Phoenix cut that lead to 7 in the second half in game 3, and what did Milwaukee do? They surged forward and won by double digits. So this team, based on Giannis, trusting the process, started in Philly. It's been perfected in Milwaukee. He believes in his teammates. He believes in Coach Bud. They're unified. They have a good chance tonight. But if they lose, it's over.
It's over. They're not going to come back down 3-1 against a superior team. Even without Saric, I think the Suns are better. I think they have a better starting five. Their backcourt, if you consider Holiday and Middleton, right, or at least the two playmaking, ball handling type guys, Holiday and Middleton on that team, they're good. They're both good. They're both very good. But Chris Paul and Devin Booker are both great. It's better. Paul and Booker is better. Each one of those guys is better than either Holiday or Middleton, to put it like bluntly, right? If you're kind of weighing the value on both sides of the ball. And then, DeAndre Ayton's had a hell of a playoffs. And then you look at their guys, like if Cam Johnson's coming alive, the way Mikal Bridges is capable of playing, they just got a lot, man. They have a better starting five, and I think they have the best sixth guy, whether or not you think of him as a sixth man in Cam Johnson. By the way, you hear what Adam Schefter said about Aaron Rodgers and his desire to not play in Green Bay? Should I play that now, Rodge, or should I keep them waiting? I'm going to play it right now. Rodge, I don't care what you say. I'm playing it right now. I'm busting through my producer's stop sign. That's right, Rodge. You got to give the people what they want, not tease them and keep them waiting like you. I love my listeners, Raj. Unlike you, what do you call them? Commoners? I think that's disgraceful that you say that. Adam Schefter on Aaron Rodgers. Take a listen. This is his podcast.
We also continue to wait for an answer from one Aaron Rodgers, who very easily could have dismissed all the speculation that's going on around him with a simple statement of, I'll see you at training camp, or I'll be there on opening day. And instead, we haven't gotten that. Because the fact of the matter is, the truth is, he doesn't want to be in Green Bay. Mm. He hasn't planned to be back in Green Bay.
This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Let me tell you that my response to what Shefty just said, we're going to see, and soon, if Aaron Rodgers has any real guts. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles. With insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward, more at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
Coming up tomorrow on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton. As the countdown to the NFL season continues. Cam Newton, coming up tomorrow on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Does Aaron Rodgers have the guts? That's what this is all going to come down to. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's head to the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN front office insider. So, Mike, welcome back to the show. As always, here's my thesis. If Aaron Rodgers has the guts to show that he will not play for the Packers, their hands are tied. He will be the one making the choice, and he will play for precisely the team he indicates, because his agent will let the teams know he only wants to play for, say it's Denver. And as a result, other teams won't make very high offers for a rental. And as a result, Denver will give up three firsts and whatever else it takes to get Rodgers, and the Packers will take that rather than get nothing. But he has to be willing to take it to the mat. He's got to be willing to sit out. Does he have the guts to do it? Am I right or wrong, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think the story really heats up, Max, until opening weekend. And if and when he misses some regular season games, I think that's when the narrative could change. Because if I'm Green Bay, I'm hoping that he shows up at some point. Even if he misses a couple of weeks, that doesn't change my strategy. My strategy changes if he misses regular games, and then I think what you said could make sense in terms of, you know, then you try to work out something that works for everybody.
Why don't the Packers? I mean, I guess if the Packers haven't done this yet, I guess it's because they don't think that Rodgers does have the guts to follow through. But why won't they just be publicly contrite? Why don't they just be like, look, you know, the full Happy Gilmore, you're smart, I'm stupid, you're good looking, I'm ugly, like that whole thing, and be like, we were wrong, we are sorry, please, please, please don't leave. Like, don't they realize they're going to have to convince him that he's the one whose minds they have to change?
Right, and maybe they've done that privately. Now, how they're handling it publicly, that's a whole other story. But I would say that they really need to do everything they can within reason to say, hey, that was on us. We could have, should have handled it differently. But now, really, Max, the story's about moving forward. It's about, hey, this is about your legacy, Aaron. And while you're pissed at us right now, understandably, don't you want your legacy for the next 10, 20, 30 years to be about an all-time great, have a monument named after him in Green Bay? And I would really appeal to his legacy.
Mike, talking to Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN front office insider, of course. I'm thinking nowadays that, you know, it used to be, I'm a huge Eli Manning fan, that if your quarterback seemed to be a kind of middle-of-the-pack guy, you had to stick it out with him because if he could do that and lead the troops and show up big in big games, you could win a Super Bowl. But nowadays, I'm not so sure. It seems to me like I look at a guy like Ryan Tannehill. I really like the team. I like the quarterback. But apparently, I don't like him enough to think he's going to win a Super Bowl. Like, I think you need more nowadays. You need a guy who can, who does all those things that Eli could do under pressure, plus. Like, he's got to be able to do a little more than that, too. I'm looking at Jordan Love. Does Jordan Love strike you as a star quarterback in the making?
No, he doesn't. And to be fair, it's early. You know, he had an unusual offseason, as all those rookie quarterbacks did a year ago. And because of COVID, Max, I'm sure all those reps went to Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, more to come on his career. But make no mistake about it, how he plays early on could certainly impact, you know, the decision-making of what Green Bay does. Because if Aaron Rodgers sits out and Jordan Love plays and they're winning with him, it definitely gives Green Bay a much stronger hand.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I wonder if the days of Mark Bulger are over, though, right? Like, you need Kurt Warner now. You can't, you know, you need a guy with something extra or you're just not going to win. Maybe. Mike, are you familiar, like, offhand with ESPN's top 10 quarterback list? Have you seen it enough now to know where the guys are ranked, or would you like me to go over it?
No, I'm pretty familiar with it.
Okay. Did you have any quibble? Do you have any quibbles with any of the rankings? I'll say for the audience: Mahomes 1, Rodgers 2, Brady 3, Wilson 4. I think that's all correct. Josh Allen 5, Stafford 6, Dak 7, Lamar Jackson 8, Justin Herbert 9, Kyler Murray 10. Dan Arlington was on yesterday saying like this. I love the list, but I think it is partly speculative. Like, Stafford's going to a really good team, that should help him. Kyler Murray, we're looking at his trajectory. He's on the way up. Same thing with Justin Herbert. What are your thoughts on the list, Mike?
You know, the one that stands out to me, we talked about on Get Up, was Ryan Tannehill not being there. He's 18-8 as a starter in Tennessee, Max, and simply doesn't get the credit he deserves. And during that time, Tennessee has the 29th ranked defense. So This whole notion that this is a defensive team just isn't the case. And, you know, Ryan's a guy I know from my days in Miami. When he was healthy, he led us to the playoffs there. He draws no attention to himself. And I think sometimes, you know, he's taken for granted. But to me, he's one of the 7 or 8 best quarterbacks in the league.
I think, Mike, I agree with you. I think this is partly speculative, this list. Like, we're anticipating what's going to happen this year, not just what's happened so far. But let me ask you about Tannehill. Because I remember back, I used to do Friday Night Fights on ESPN2 in the late 90s. And there was a fighter, Vernon Forrest, who was being ducked by everybody. Really good welterweight. And he had had some amateur rivalry with Sugar Shane Mosley, who was the pound-for-pound guy at the time, and he was the shiny star, and he beat De La Hoya, and he was the undefeated champ. And I used to stump for Vernon Forrest to get his title shot because, damn it, I thought he deserved it. I didn't think he was going to win. I was doing it as an exercise in moral rectitude, you know, like, hey, he has earned it, he deserves it. Now, it turns out, when he got the title shot, he did win, right? So it shows you why he deserves it, why it's important to give those guys the shot. But the analogy I'm making is now with Tannehill. We can put Tannehill, you could say he's one of the 7 or 8 best guys, because he deserves it, and I agree with you. But do you think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl?
I do. I mean, if you look at some of these other quarterbacks, now look, I'm not saying he's Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, but he can make all the throws. He's a good athlete. He's strong. He's tough. And with the right pieces around him, I think if Julio Jones plays in 17 games this year, Max,
yeah,
this is going to be a really potent Tennessee offense. You think about Derrick Henry, a young, emerging A.J. Brown. If their defense plays better, and look, that's a big if because they really struggled last year, I think this is a team that could get back to at least the championship game in the AFC because I think they're going to be really good on offense. Again, that's assuming that Julio Jones is healthy.
Yeah, right. If Julio Jones is healthy, that's the best. I would say it's the best 1-2, like the best receiving tandem in football. I don't think it's clear who the number one is, and they got Julio Jones now, right? Is that the best tandem in football, Jones and Brown?
Yeah. I mean, I would put Dallas in that conversation with C.D. Lamb and Amari Cooper for sure. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's certainly in the conversation. I mean, those are two bona fide front line number ones, big, strong, physical guys. So I think if they're not the best, they're certainly in that conversation, Max.
Yeah, I think if you go 3, I would take Tampa, 1, 2, 3, with Evans, who I think was a legit number one guy, and I'm not even sure he's better than Godwin. And I think if Brown is right, Antonio Brown, he's better than both those guys. So if we take it three deep, I like Tampa. But I think two, you're right. I think bringing up Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, like, I don't know how really who's one and two is better than that. And we'll see. Like, Tannehill, you mentioned the defense. They should be able to score. I guess I don't believe in Tannehill to the extent that you do. But you know a lot more about what you're looking at than I do, so I'm willing to acknowledge I could be wrong. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Tannenbaum believes Ryan Tannehill, one of the seven or eight best quarterbacks in football, and that he could win a Super Bowl if the defense holds up. Thanks, Mike. Always appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Max.
Who says the 76ers can't get a superstar in return for Ben Simmons? I'll tell you how to do it coming up. Mike Tannenbaum joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Kawhi staying with the Clippers? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Rockbox. When I heard Rockbox, I was like, I don't know if music's ever going to sound better than this. Run DMC. I think I was right back then. Like 10 years old. I was like, what is this doing to my ears? How can the 76ers get a superstar in return for Ben Simmons? Superstar. Not just a star. Hey, we want an all-star. Well, how about expanding the deal? What if you did Ben Simmons? Because I know everyone's like, can you get C.J. McCollum for Ben Simmons? And that solves two teams' problems. Portland is not so small in the backcourt, and they have a defender and everything. And the guy who can also take Damian Lillard off ball sometimes, because Damian Lillard's like the way Steph's off ball sometimes. Even a more dangerous scorer, maybe. I don't know. If I'm Philadelphia, I don't know what C.J. McCollum really does for me. He's better than Seth Curry overall, but like, Seth Curry can give you some of that. You can shoot, and you get some defense if they re-sign Danny Green, and they have Thibault, who's a tremendous defender already, not to mention Simmons. And what about this? What if you expand the deal, and you're not looking for McCollum, you're looking for Lillard to put with Embiid and Tobias Harris and Seth Curry? What if you said Simmons and Thibault, and say Tyrese Maxey, a guy who was a scorer in college with upside, very young in his NBA career, but he's done some things, and some draft picks for Lillard. Who says no to that? Now, before you, in the NBA, you always want the best player in the deal, and right now that's Lillard. Will it always be Lillard? Well, maybe. Simmons is going to have to develop his shot, but every other part of his game is bananas, and he's 6'10". And more than that, Portland's not going anywhere in the Western Conference. What, are they going to sit there and cross their fingers and hope there's another year like this where every other team gets hurt and they win? They're in the finals? By the way, every team did get hurt this year. They ain't in no finals. No. Portland's stuck. Not a market people are clamoring to play in. Like, you're going to sign free agents or guys are going to demand trades there. Not a warm weather city. Not a major cosmopolitan area. Not a no-tax state. Who are you going to get in Portland? You're too good to be drafting up near the top of the draft. You're not good enough to make a deep playoff run. You're stuck. And trading C.J. McCollum is not going to unstick you. You're just going to have a similar level team. But if you can wrap your head around getting rid of Lillard, and by the way, who cares if you have Lillard if you're stuck in the second round at best? And that's all you're going to be, as presently constructed. And it's a structural problem they're dealing with. They're dealing with a geographical problem in the market and the fact that they're never going to be having high draft picks given the fact that they're good, but not good enough. But all of a sudden, you have the kind of defenders in Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle that can slow down those Western Conference powerhouse offenses. Right? All of a sudden, you still got guys like Powell and McCollum, by the way, and Covington, who can shoot. But now you also have real defense in Thibault. In the meantime, for the Sixers, it makes perfect sense, right? Like, you're giving up depth and you're giving up some defense, but you're putting a bona fide superstar with a bona fide superstar in Embiid. All of a sudden, it's Lillard and Embiid with Harris as the number three guy. Still have Seth Curry. Maybe can re-sign Danny Green. Right? All of a sudden, you're not as deep, but you can actually, for real, start to think about competing with Brooklyn. Now, and before Portland fans get, oh, we don't want this deal, just ask yourself, did you get better or worse? I don't think you got any worse. Simmons and McCollum and Thibault and Powell and Covington and, you know, and you still have your bigs and everything. You're kind of where you were, but at least you have a chance to get better if Simmons can develop. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Trace in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing? No, just wanted to jump back on Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hit him at his legacy. You know, the cloud is Brett Favre. And if he doesn't go to the Ring of Honor, they're not putting a statue up. They wipe out all of the Aaron Rodgers years. They keep the stats because that's their right. But he will not be able to go to any other team and accomplish what he's accomplishing now. If he thinks he's going to Denver and win two Super Bowls, you and I both know if we had a chunk of money that meant something to us, we're saying no.
I don't know. Wait, hold on. Your argument is he won't be honored in Green Bay if he loses? I mean, if he leaves, Favre left.
I get it. But the way he's leaving...
Well, but think about the difference. Wait. Think about the difference. The difference is Favre was shown the door. Rodgers is saying, basically, wait a minute. I saw the way you did Brett Favre. You're not going to decide the end of my Green Bay career the way you decided the end of Favre's Packers career. I'm going to decide the end of my Packers career. And if this is what you're going to do, you're going to trade me now. And if you're not going to trade me now, you're going to give me a big fat contract, the biggest extension in history, and I'll decide that I'm staying, but you're not going to make that decision. I will. I don't know. I don't think he's not honored if he leaves. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.